Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open. We invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. This is a verse out of Romans chapter 12, actually verse 12. And it's interesting where he places this. This is kind of the living out of our faith. And if you've been a listener to Basic Gospel for some time, you know we have a pattern on how we deliver information. We spend a lot of time with the doctrinal issues up front, making sure people actually hear what the Word of God is saying. Because if we don't hear the actual words of the Bible, then we're not going to have a proper faith, a proper response. I can't tell you how many times that we've shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and then asked people to tell us what that is, and they speak back something completely different than what they heard, because they have filters that this gospel message is processed through, and it comes out a workspace message. So that message has to keep going in and going in and going in until it clicks and somebody finally hears it for what it is. And then there's the belief aspect, the hear it, believing aspect of it. You know, do you really believe that Jesus took away all your sins? Do you really believe that Jesus is alive? Do you really believe that he's declared you righteous? And that's going to make a difference on the inside. And then there's the living that out. If you are totally forgiven, if you do have Christ living in you, how does that spell itself out in day-to-day life? Well, here in Romans 12, Paul is kind of in the living it out stage of faith. He's gone through 11 chapters of really outlining systematically what this gospel is. He's presented the most thorough, the most logical case for the gospel that's ever been given in these first 11 chapters. And then he starts chapter 12. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything that I've just said, to do all of these things. And he gets down to verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So what does it mean to be faithful in prayer, or devoted to prayer, as the NSB has it?
Well, it has to do with usually relationships. We talk about being devoted one to another, like a husband to a wife, or parents to children, or even in the Bible, sometimes when we're talking about the church, the body of Christ, the word devoted or faithful is used. And because it's talking about relationships here, we would do a disservice to say that this devoted or faithful in prayer says that we've moved from relationship to activity. And if this is just activity, then we've missed the point. As you said, I mean, this chapter starts with in view of God's mercy. And he spent all of that time prior to this explaining to us how devoted, how faithful God is to us. Therefore, because prayer is an expression of that relationship, being devoted or faithful to prayer only means continuing on in the relationship that God created in the first place.
This really kind of ties into what he says to the Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Just to have that ongoing conversation, that running conversation with God, mm-hmm. because he's your center now. He's everything. He's your life.
Yeah.
And because he's your life, you know, there's that natural response to be devoted back to him in thought and in mind and choosing and all of those sort of things. And prayer has to be a part of it, doesn't it?
Well, yes. If it's not, it's kind of one-sided. And the one-sided tends to be me focusing on myself. But because Christ lives in me by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is talking to me, if I begin to respond, to listen back, to echo what I'm hearing, to question, there's all these things that go into a relationship. And if God can't maintain a relationship with us, no one can. Seriously.
Right.
We blow it all the time with each other, but God is never going to leave us. He's already told us there's no condemnation. He's already done everything that we need. And then he just says, just hang with me. You know, just let's talk. And it really brings a prayer life to life.
Yes, indeed.
In a way that it could never have been beforehand.
So by grace, through faith in Jesus, and I think as Paul puts it here, be faithful in prayer, you know, as God through his Holy Spirit is initiating, is pouring out his grace into our lives each and every day, this prayer is really kind of one of those expressions of faith, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's part of this whole way of the Christian life, by grace through faith in Jesus, from start to finish. And even our prayer life is by grace through faith in mm-hmm. Jesus. So as Paul said, rejoice or be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
Yeah. Speaking of prayer, friends, Bob and Richard recently recorded an in-depth conversation about prayer, and when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy right away. It's called Prayer That Matters, and its purpose is to empower you to confidently take your cares to God. To make your gift and request your copy of Prayer That Matters, just click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Guys, a question from Victoria about abiding in the vine. Let's listen to that question right now.
John 15 says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except if you abide in me. He says, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. If someone would really read the whole chapter of 15, it deals with the abiding in Christ. It says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me. It says to abide in him. I think it's very important that people understand the abiding. It's just not a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it kind of thing. And as you abide in the Lord, I believe, according to the rest of the scriptures, then you will learn how to pray God's will. Anyway, abiding means being living with. So, first time I ever heard your program, but it's a subject matter I think needs to be discussed. So, God bless you. What I've heard has been great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, Victoria brings up a really important point as
yes.
far as this Christian life is concerned. It is an abiding life. It's a life of faith. Jesus Christ is the vine. We're the branches. So he's the source of everything good that comes forth out of us. We simply bear the fruit of his life. And Paul describes what that fruit looks like. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what he produces in and through us. So as we abide in the life of Christ, and as she said, and I think rightfully so, that abiding is simply living in Christ.
Yes.
And as believers, that's where we're living. That's where we're deriving our life from. Jesus Christ himself, he is the vine, and he is flowing through us from the inside out. And as we abide in him, we are going to learn what the will of God is. I think Paul put it like this in Philippians, said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yeah.
So as you're abiding in the vine and working out what God is working in, you're going to be working out the will of God. And as you see that, your prayers are going to be aligned to what the will of God is.
Yeah.
So this is a very important point, and why we always have to get back to the fact that God is always initiating, we are always responding. So many believers out there reverse that process. As one friend of ours used to say, we're dyslexic when it comes to prayer life. We put God in the responder spot instead of the initiator spot. Well, we need to get him back where he belongs.
Yes.
And that's the one who initiates. And as we respond, we're going to know the will of God and pray accordingly.
Yeah.
And that is the abiding life.
Absolutely. Victoria, thank you for your question. It's good that you dropped that into the inbox for us as a first-time listener. And, guys, we're seeing more and more first-time listeners recently, and we're very, very grateful for that. Another first-time listener dropped an email to us overnight. This is, she says, God allowed a personally horrible, tragic thing to happen, and he expects me to follow him? I think an answer to this may help many hurting people. Thank you.
Well, you know, we attribute to God things that shouldn't necessarily be attributed to him. This, you know, God caused this bad thing to happen to me. God caused something else to happen to me. Certainly God is sovereign. He's in control. He's in charge. But he has given a measure of freedom as far as humanity is concerned. And we make choices. Sometimes those choices, you know, are positive and beneficial. Other times those choices are hurtful and harmful. And certainly the world system in which we live is anti-God. The world is not our friend. It is not for us. It is not. It is against us. Jesus said that time and time again. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But the fact of the matter is that we can have a measure of certainty in the midst of this chaotic, confusing, topsy-turvy, harmful, hurtful place that we call home right now.
Yeah.
And that measure of certainty comes from God himself and the person of Jesus and his finished work through his death, burial, and resurrection. So no matter what happens, no matter what harm comes into my life, I know that God's love remains constant, that no matter what happens, doesn't change the enormous effects and benefits of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So if something bad happens to me, it doesn't change the fact that I'm a forgiven person in Christ. It doesn't change the fact that I've been declared righteous in Christ. It doesn't change the fact that I have Christ living in me because he's alive and he has chosen to give me his spirit. So no matter what I'm going through, God's spirit is right there with me. And so I have somebody that I can cling to. And the fact that he's with me is a sign of his good pleasure toward me. And so there's comfort in that. We have hope as well. This world isn't our final resting place.
No.
It's not our final destination. It's not the end of the story. This is just the middle. Boy, when God comes back in glory and Jesus and sets up a new heaven, a new earth, and the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and we find our dwelling place there with him forever. I mean, that's the end of the story, and that's a perpetual story.
Yes.
It's a never-ending story. This is just, you know, a temporary suffering. And as Paul wrote, I think in Romans, you know, this is just mild in comparison to the weight of glory that we will experience at his coming. So there is some certainty in this topsy-turvy world, and that certainty is Jesus Christ himself. So to make sense of what's going on, we have to look at this gospel message, and there we can find our hope and we can find our answers in situations like that.
Yeah, absolutely. 844-322-2742. And again, we really appreciate hearing from you, our first-time listeners. And if you're hearing this program anytime other than at 3 o'clock between 3 and 3:30 Central Time, Monday through Friday, we encourage you, if you have a question, to call that same number, 844-322-2742. You can record your question if we're not in the studio at that particular time, and we'll be glad to address it on a later edition, a very, very quick turnaround on that particular question. So we'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Thorndale and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Richard and Bob. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I do agree that, and this month's nearly over with this prayer, but I wanted, I like that what you said, that prayer can't be an activity. but it needs to be a conversation, but it needs to be a conversation of faith. And what I want to ask you about, it says in Mark 11:22, it says to have faith in God, okay? And so it starts talking about the mountain, and you can read it if you want, but then it goes on there, it says, when you pray, believe that you have received, and you shall have it. A lot of times, you know, knowing that it's finished in Him is praying that and believing that we have received, okay? And I wrote this. It's about 10 letters. You know how I'm all over the place, but let me read this. I just wrote it a minute ago. I haven't witnessed much success in the church praying for creation that is growing and travailing to be back under the peace as it was from the fall of man. And what I'm speaking of is hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, and floods. And so if you could just speak a little bit about having faith in what we're praying and believing that we have received. And also, I just don't know how effective we can pray against this fallen creation. And
okay, Clay, I think we understand your question there. You know, how do we pray about those sort of things? We know that there's going to come a time when all that's going to be taken care of. I mean, that's our hope as believers mm-hmm. in Christ. I think in the meantime, you know, it says that we understand the power of God through nature. We can see that. We certainly see that to be true through yeah. some of these things of nature. As insurance clauses put it, acts of God, hurricanes, yeah. and all of that.
Yeah, little G.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So that's just a reality, and I think a part of that is really all of it is the result of sin, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that just changed everything, not only about us, but about this planet that we live on. So as Paul writes, the whole planet is under that bondage and is decaying and is waiting for the time for our revealing so that it can be brought out from underneath that curse. So I think what we're seeing is just a part of the effects of the fall of man, sin coming into this world. I mean, things changed just all over the place. When the flood happened, just atmospheric conditions have changed. All sorts of things have happened as a result of sin in this world. And one day when the sin problem is finally eradicated once and for all, then we're going to find peace and experience peace for every person and for this new heaven and new earth. And that's our hope.
Amen.
And so I think we pray I pray. Here's how I pray when those things happen is that, you know, through those people can find the hope of Christ, that it can be a reminder that there's something bigger and more powerful than themselves, and their hope needs to be in Him and in Him alone, and their faith needs to be in Him and Him alone. So I think those things serve as a reminder to me to pray for the salvation of those who are lost and need Jesus.
That's good stuff.
Well, thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, but I, you know, this thing about praying for hurricanes to stop and to turn and everything, I told a friend of mine, I said, if you have so much faith, why don't you just wade down there to the Gulf of Mexico and take your shoes off and put your toes in the Gulf of Mexico and pray right there when one of those things are barreling in?
Probably not willing to do that, I would imagine.
No, I wasn't going to go with him. But anyway, I like what you said. That's a good way to look at it. But I do feel sorry for the people that are out of covenant that perish in those things. And I guess the ones that are in covenant, if they perish, it's gain for them.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's exactly right, Clay. So let's just keep praying for opportunity to speak truth, to lift up the name of Jesus, to declare the glory of his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah, thanks, Clay. Good to hear from you as always. And friends, we have a new CD called Prayer That Matters, a conversation between Bob and Richard. It will clear up a lot of confusion about prayer, and we want to share it with you. Prayer That Matters will encourage you and empower you to take your cares to God in full confidence. It's yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. A reminder about tomorrow's program as well. It is our Friday teaching edition. We'll be in Chapter 9 of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. And I know you have heard and I've said this, and I know many people have said this. I know God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. And so how do we let go of those sins? How do we forgive ourselves? And that's the topic for tomorrow's teaching edition. I think you will find it very interesting, encouraging. And if you are in that category, you know that God's forgiven you, but you can't forgive yourself, you can't let go of the past, this will be a broadcast that will put some oil on those hands and allow you to let go of those past sins and go free in Christ Jesus. So that's going to be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We will be streaming that to Facebook Live. So if you're a Facebook user and you want to see the broadcast, the video version of the broadcast, join us tomorrow at 3 Central Time. And I think you will be very encouraged by this particular broadcast. Again, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Facebook Live, mm-hmm. for letting go of your past sins.
On your regular station and on Facebook at 3 p.m. Central Time.
Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon. Hi, Brad.
How you doing? Good afternoon. I tell you what, Bob, Richard and Bob, it just never fails that when you start talking about Romans 12, and even verse 12 goes all the way back up to verse 1 and 2, and I always think about Hebrews 4, 9, and 10. And even with Dolores' abiding in the vine, I think about Hebrews 4, 9, and 10, where Jesus talks about that Sabbath rest and then immediately tells us right after that how this all takes place. And that says, you have entered into the rest once you have ceased, stopped your own efforts, just like God did his on when he was creating everything. And when you think about resting, I mean, this is just me. This is my opinion. When I think about resting in God and ceasing from my own effort, I really think that that is why you can be a living sacrifice in Romans 12. And to know, and I think a lot of people absolutely do not understand that God did lay his life down to give it to us in order that he could live in and through us as his children. And when we learn to rest in him, and you got to have, you know, he gives you the faith and you believe and you're doing his work when you do believe that what he has said, what he has offered, what he has done is true.
Well, Brad, let me jump in. We're running out of time, but I think you're exactly right. Everything that we've talked about this month as far as prayer is concerned, like I said, has to be couched in terms of this whole gospel message, by grace through faith in Jesus. So as we rest in the finished work of Jesus, that's going to shape how we pray. So many people look at it as a work, you know, they're praying frantically, feverishly, trying to get God to do something for them, or trying to get God to look at them with favor, to get those black marks erased. We have to rest and realize all of that's already been taken care of. Be eager to enter into that rest and allow that rest to shape every other area of your Christian life, including being devoted or being faithful in prayer. And that's when it becomes exciting to really enjoy this relationship with God.
Well, Brad, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. Friends, don't forget that Bob and Richard have recorded that dynamic conversation about prayer called Prayer That Matters, and it's yours with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Prayer That Matters. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. We'd love to send a copy of it to you immediately. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us tomorrow for that study edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.